Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Tisha McCoy in Tiamoa, owner of the Preposterous Gourmet Popcorn and Sodas. That's Preposterous. They make absurdly flavorful popcorn available for you for purchase online or in person at their store in Bridgewater, Virginia. They also can help you create the perfect popcorn as wedding favors or gifts for any occasion with their wide variety of unique flavors and ability to customize popcorn colors. Their handcrafted recipes are rigorous tested to make sure they're delicious and authentic. They only use the highest quality ingredients from local producers and ship within 2 days to ensure maximum freshness. All their popcorn is made in their own private nut-free factory. And bonus, they also have a customized gourmet popcorn and soda bar for any of your special occasions. Laughers, a popcorn lover myself, it's a pleasure to have this guest on our show. Welcome, Tisha. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks, Dawn. It's great to be here.
Yes, this is so fun. Yes, it is. This is my friend, people. So this is going to be a good time. You're in for a treat. Her background is in higher education. In fact, that's where her and I met while we were both working for James Madison University. Now, back then, Tisha, you were making popcorn in your basement, and now you're running your business full time and also have a storefront. I love your story. Can you please bless our laughers with it and tell them?
So I call this the dream that's like been 25 years deferred. So my very first job, this is where it started. My very first job at high school was working for a popcorn company in the Midwest. And there was something about it that I just loved. I loved the customers. I loved the experience of helping make popcorn and serving popcorn. And the bonus part was that nobody was ever upset at getting popcorn. Like, you just couldn't get a popcorn order or a soda order wrong. Just couldn't. And so that feeling really stuck with me throughout all of my life and my career. Every time I made a career choice, I was really thinking, does it give me that feeling that I had when I was serving popcorn and working for that popcorn company? And at the same time, I was also thinking, one day I'm going to have my own popcorn company. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I will. So I went on to school, and my undergrad was in business. And when you come out of a business school, you don't go, well, at least at that time, you didn't go start your own business. You went to work for a Fortune 500 company so you can make the rankings for the College of Business look good. And so I actually, my very first career was with Hershey Chocolate USA. I was a sales rep in the Chicago territory. And it was good, but it just wasn't a good first job out of college for me and what I was looking for. But the other thing that I realized in that time is that I really missed being on a college campus, because when I was in college, I was an orientation leader. And so, again, that customer service piece is just something ingrained in me. So I went back to graduate school and got my degree in college student administration to work on a college campus. And so that's where I landed at James Madison University and worked there for 15 years before launching into my business full time. Now, my last 4 years, so I worked there until 2019. 2015, I launched my business, and I launched it online as an e-commerce brand only. And I would get orders online and I would ship out. And that was it. And I was so taken with it that I wasn't sleeping much. I would work all day, right, at the university. And then I would come home and I might sleep until like 10 o'clock. And then I'd get up from 10 to 2 and make popcorn. Or I'd sleep until 2 a.m. and work on popcorn from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then get dressed and go to work again. And so at some point, you know, people say they are burning the candles at both ends.
Yeah.
I was burning the whole candle. Dawn. I was just burning the whole dang-on candle. and so there came an opportunity for me to launch into the business full time in 2019. And that's what I did.
Wow. That is so really amazing. You had a couple of children during all of that too. So
I did have a couple of children. Yeah. So I was, you know, and I came to entrepreneurship, even though I had the dream of one day I want to own my own popcorn company, I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. Because for me, and again, I came out of college in 2000. So at that time, the idea of entrepreneurship wasn't really something that was talked about a lot, particularly to women. The concept then was you get out of college, you go work for a company for some years and you work for 20, 30 years, get your pension and live happily ever after in retirement. And so I never saw myself as an entrepreneur, but it was just something that really grasped me. I like the creativity of it. It's hard work, but I do really enjoy it. And as far as the kids that have come along during the time, because I have three now, with the youngest now being 18 months old. So yes, I had a pandemic baby. I had a baby 2 weeks after this town shut down.
Oh my gosh.
The pandemic. So that has added some interesting, sometimes challenges, but also sometimes some great opportunities, just to see have my kids see me grow this business and what it means to other people, or for them to be in school and be like, your mom's the popcorn lady.
Yeah. And that's a lot to do. Did your business change at all during COVID or not? Like, what happened during that period for you?
Yeah. So I know, you know, there are a lot of business, unfortunately, that we lost during COVID, a lot of doors shut. And it was really sad to see. And I was content just kind of plugging along as I had been online. And again, I had just had a baby in COVID. And I'd had some complications with his delivery. So I wasn't necessarily looking to launch into anything. I wasn't looking to pivot my business in any way. The one thing I can say is that I was already online. And so for companies that weren't online and trying to figure that out, I already had that figured out. And so that worked to my benefit. And what that meant for me is that companies were contacting me saying, hey, we now have these remote workers and we want to send them something, just a token of appreciation. So we started doing a lot more corporate gifting at that time. The second thing that happened that just kind of talk about an opportunity that fell out of the sky, is there was a marketplace opening in town here. So I'm part of the North River Marketplace. And the owner she owns several food-based businesses and she has her catering kitchen there, but she didn't need all of the retail floor space. So she reached out to five other women-owned businesses and said, would you all like to come in and be a part of this marketplace with me? And so my footprint is about 270 square feet. In a marketplace that has, you know, a total of six vendors, but it's a wonderful collaborative space and opportunity. And so I, crazy enough, opened retail in the middle of a pandemic.
That's so great. What are the other businesses that are in? It's North River. What is the name of the
marketplace? North River Marketplace.
North River Marketplace.
So in Bridgewater, Virginia.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
So we've got... oh, goodness. Your Dinner, which is part of the Dayton Catering Company brand. So Dayton Tavern, Mama's Caboose Food Truck. It's all under that umbrella. So that's there. We've got a gourmet popsicle company called Papa's Pops. We've got Radella's Produce. Radella's a farmer from Raleigh Springs, and she brings us produce from her garden and other local farmers. We've got Heart and Hustle there, which is a women's gifting company. And then we have Piece of Cake, which is our baker on site. And so she does wonderful baking items.
That's really great. Yeah, I've been in there. It's a really neat place to get not just popcorn, but a lot of other little goodies.
So. Yeah, I often like to say to people when they walk in, I'll say, there's a lot to digest here, literally and figuratively. Like, there's just a lot to see and to enjoy in the marketplace.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. I'm curious about the name of your business, Preposterous. Yeah, where in the world does that come from?
Oh my goodness. So branding is so important. The one thing I will say, when I worked for Hershey, I learned the importance of marketing and branding. And I knew I wanted to create a brand that people would want to be loyal to and that I could get, you know, little kids when they were small and they would grow up with my brand. Like, that was always the vision I had for Preposterous. And so I had a business name. When I went to go launch my business, I had a business name and found out that that name had been trademarked for a company in Texas a year and a half before I launched my business. So that kind of set me back on my heels a little bit. And I was fortunate to work with a graphic designer who connected me with a copywriter, and he generated some ideas, but I gave him some rules, and these were my three rules. Number one, it had to have the word pop centrally featured in the word. It had to be one word, and it had to be whimsical, because popcorn is just fun. So yeah. I wanted it to be a whimsical word. And he cranked out about 300 different names. And I thought we weren't getting anywhere. And then one day I said, you know, I'm just going to go back and comb through each round, because we were on like round four. So I combed through every word in each round, and it was there in round three, Preposterous.
Wow, that is impressive. 300 words. That really says a lot about this person's creativity.
Yeah, he was really good. And I'm so thankful to my graphic designer for making that connection, because I was so set on what the original name was going to be that I couldn't get out of my own head and come up with something different.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I get you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then to that point, because I never wanted there to be brand confusion, I trademarked my name, and I trademarked Absurdly. So we own the trademark for each of those words in two categories, so a total of four trademarks.
That's really smart. Yeah, I really like that. There's so many wonderful things about what you're doing. One of the unique things that you have going is that you're a nut-free factory. Why is that so important to you?
Yes, we are. And we're really happy that we are, and we stay focused on that. And so that came about because remember those kids I had? My second child, my son, when he was born, he had a lot of food allergies. I mean, he was allergic to nuts, wheat, soy, dairy, and eggs. It was like basically the kid could eat beans, rice, meat, and fruit. Which, if we all ate like that, we'd probably be better off.
I need to start eating like that more.
And so it was really important to me to look at what were the allergens in our food, in our popcorn, and figure out, you know, what were the most prominent allergens and commit to eliminating those. And so peanuts, tree nuts, ground nuts, whatever, they don't cross the threshold of our factory. So we have a no nuts policy in our factory, and we remain committed to that. And what that's meant for us is that when parents want something a little different for a classroom treat, our popcorn is school friendly, and it's considered a school friendly snack because it doesn't contain nuts.
Oh, that's really great, because there are a lot of children that have allergies these days.
Yeah. And
that's got to be comforting to a lot of parents out there that they can have this wonderful, absurdly delicious popcorn and not have to worry about their children having a reaction.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You have a lot of wonderful flavors. They are absurdly sweet, absurdly savory, absurdly mixed, and absurdly seasonal flavors also available. Yeah. How do you come up with all these different flavor ideas? And we have to know, who are the taste testers?
Okay, so let's start with the taste testers. The taste tester is my son, my middle child. He will tell you, if you were to ask him, just standing on the street, what is your job in the fact in the business, he would tell you that he is the taste tester. And he gets paid a little bit for it, but he tastes on most days, if he's near the factory with me, he tastes a kernel out of every batch that comes out of the kettle and gives me his seal of approval. I'm proud to report that I've never had a batch that he said we could not serve to customers. So as far as the flavor, so we maintain about between 15 and 20 flavors. It depends on the time of the year, because we have some seasonal flavors that we only bring out during the holidays, and then they kind of go back in the vault. Caramel, cinnamon, cheddar are our signature flavors. And then we, on the seasonal side, we've got gingerbread, pumpkin spice, and peppermint. And then on the savory side, we have, you know, all the cheddars. We've got cheddar, cheddar bay, cheddar ranch, spiked cheddar, which is a sriracha cheddar. We've got a couple of custom flavors we make just for our wholesale clients, some local breweries. And so it's always fun. And how do I make them? I just like to create flavors. You know, I grew up not thinking I was a wildly creative kid. And I would dare say now, my creativity really comes out in making popcorn. And so all of our flavors start with a base that we buy from a manufacturer, but we layer on all our ingredients to achieve the flavor that we want. So nothing is out of the box from pre-made from a manufacturer. My favorite flavors are cinnamon, hands down. It's like candied Red Hots melted all over popcorn. That's not how we make it, but that's what it tastes like. And I love that flavor. Or also hot tamales would probably be another way to describe that flavor. And then during the holiday season, gingerbread is absolutely my flavor. And gingerbread was one of those that surprised me, because one year I was just in the factory and I was like, what's the quintessential flavor of this holiday? It's like gingerbread. I'm going to try to make gingerbread popcorn. And it took me a few batches to achieve the right flavor, but it's good.
Yeah. And the holidays are coming up. So laughers, remember this. They have the gingerbread popcorn. Just saying. How did you find your local producers that you work with? And what does that process look like?
Yeah. So our main ingredient, as you would guess, are popcorn kernels. And since that we live here in the Shenandoah Valley, there's so much agriculture around us and so many farmers. And I was able to find a farmer that grew the kernel that we use in our popping process. And so we're in Bridgewater, and our farmer is about 10 minutes up the road from us. And so it's really, really fresh popcorn. And it's hard to explain this to your laughers unless you're in the valley. We know, because we're in the valley, that there's always like the valley smell, right? it has a distinct aroma. And popcorn is like that. Not that it smells like the aroma of the valley, but fresh popcorn kernels have a distinct smell that lets you know they're fresh, as opposed to popcorn kernels that have been sitting on a shelf or sitting in a warehouse for several months. So we're happy to be exclusively at this point supplying our kernels from that farmer. It helps our business grow. It helps his business grow. And we just love it. And it's non-GMO. So that's important to some of our customers as well.
How did you find this farmer? How did you find him?
You know what? I was in a couple of grocery stores and I kept seeing I kept seeing the mushroom kernel and I saw the label. So let me describe or explain something about kernel. So for there's popcorn that you get at the movie theater, right? And if you think about the popcorn that you, you know, grab out of that bucket at the movie theater, if you look at it, it looks like a butterfly, or it kind of has like little wings on the side. It's like the kernel in the center and it's got wings on the side. That's called a butterfly kernel. What we use is called a mushroom kernel. And it's called a mushroom kernel because when it pops into a nice round ball or almost has like a dome on top of it. And that's necessary because of the rigor of the kettle that flavors the popcorn. If we use the butterfly popcorn, all the wings would get just like cut off and you'd end up with a bunch of crummy popcorn. And so the mushroom kernel holds up. And so as I was going through grocery stores, I kept seeing mushroom popcorn kernel labels and just kind of backtracked to the supplier, the farm on the label, and realized that he was 10 minutes down the road from us. So
that's really great. So do you go there and pick up your kernels he delivers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, so I literally... and again, the Shenandoah Valley, it's so friendly and everybody is so trusting. I send him a text and I'm like, hey, I need to pick up 6 50-pound bags of popcorn kernels. And he'll say, okay, when you want to pick them up, I'll tell him when. And he'll say, okay, I'll leave them in the barn for you. And I just roll up whenever I have time to roll up to the barn, open the door, get my popcorn kernels, throw them in the back of my swag wagon, which is my minivan. I call it a swag wagon. And just leave them a check.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, laughers, if you haven't visited the Valley or unaware, that's Valley life right there. Mm-hmm. That is Valley life right there. Yeah. You've got a tremendous story. You had won a $20,000 marketing prize in a Spark Tank competition, loosely modeled mm-hmm. after the popular show Shark Tank. Can you tell us about that experience? And what would you say is the most challenging and also the most rewarding experience of doing that?
Yeah, so any small business owner knows that one of the key things is funding, right? How are you going to fund your business? Where are those funds going to come from? You prefer to have things that are not loans, so grants and different competitions. And so we entered this competition. I can't even tell you how we found out about it. I don't remember. But it was sponsored by a local marketing company out of Stanton. And I think they were also just starting as a marketing company. So it was an opportunity for them to get their name out there as well. But we used the power of social media to get in the top, I think they did the top 10. I can't remember, but they did the top 10 companies with the most likes. And I think I was at the top of the list. So I got in there, and the most rewarding part of it wasn't even the winnings. The most rewarding part was the challenge of putting together a pitch to talk about my brand, talk about the vision I had for it, and really sell it to a panel of, you know, people involved with other entrepreneurs in the area. So there was a faculty member from one of the business schools in the area. There were Chamber of Commerce leaders on the panel. There was a guy who sells businesses. So somebody owns a business, they're ready to sell it so that they can move on with life. A business broker was on it. And so it was very rewarding from the standpoint of putting together my pitch, making my pitch, and then winning was the affirmation that, okay, I can sell this brand, this product. I am accurately and adequately communicating. What I am communicating is resonating with people to the point that they selected me to win that prize. And we've won some other accolades In 2019, we were one of the winners of Made in Virginia, which is through Virginia Living magazine. And they had hundreds of submissions, and we were one of 24 winners that year in the food and drink category.
Congrats.
So that one was really exciting for us. It was our first time putting ourselves out there for that award, and we won on the first try.
The first try. Of course, I'm not surprised. That's exciting. Yeah, thunder snaps for that. That's the thing at JMU.
I don't know, Don. They may not be doing that anymore. We may be too far removed to realize that they stopped.
You mean I'm 52 and I'm not cool anymore?
I didn't say you weren't cool. I just said they may not be doing that anymore.
I don't know if I ever was, but
you are. You are very cool.
Well, thank you for that. I really love how this is growing for you. You have the amazing popcorn flavors, but now you also have a soda bar that can be paired with the gourmet popcorn. And it's a bit of a pop-up station that people can have at their special occasions. Mm-hmm. So what does that entail? Give us some examples of how people have utilized that and what it might look like if they wanted to have it at their special occasion. Tell us more.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to, it would be great for things like proms or maybe even wedding receptions. But what we do is we go in and the popcorn is already made. And so usually that's set up as a popcorn bar, or it can be prepackaged as favors for guests to take at the event. And then the soda bar is live, meaning we are using fresh squeeze. Fresh squeezing on site, a citrus fruit. We are adding our own house made simple syrups and adding some carbonated water to it. So, I mean, if you think about a carbonated lemonade or a carbonated cherry limeade or a carbonated ginger orange juice, those are really great flavor. So we take a lot of pride in making our own syrups and figuring out the right combination and balance of flavors. A little secret and fun fact about me, the one job I never got to do that I always wanted to do when I was younger, I never got to be a bartender.
Oh, okay.
So the soda line is kind of my way of vicariously being a bartender. And so as we're making the drink, it is like being at a bar. We shake it up like a martini and pour it out. And so it's really, really fun. And it's fun to create that experience. And we especially love serving children when they come to our bar because we let them pick out their fruit from the cooler. So if they want a lemonade, we'll say, go over there and pick out your lemons. And they bring us their lemons and we squeeze their lemons and they get to watch us build their drink. And they are just fascinated by it.
That is so fun.
Meanwhile, I'm just being a pseudo bartender.
Living your other dream.
Living the dream.
That's so good. Where did you get the inspiration for the soda bar?
We in the company I worked for, they made carbonated drinks, but I knew I wanted to take it further, and so I've really expanded on. They made one or two drinks, and so I've really expanded. So I have, like I said, the ginger orange juice. This summer, what's been really popular is a mint tea lemonade made with in the Mennonite community, there's something called mint tea, which are like mint leaves that they make it. There's something called mint tea.
Okay.
And I thought it was like tea, like Louisiana's tea, brown tea, right? With some mint flavoring added. And no, there's no Louisiana's brown tea. It's just, you just steep the mint leaves and add some sugar and water, and it's called mint tea.
Okay. I haven't had
And it's something that I'd never heard it or never had it before, but Radella, who's a Mennonite at the marketplace, she has just opened my eyes to lots of things. And so, so we made a mint tea lemonade. And one of the things I love too about being at the marketplace is she brings in produce. So the oranges I use and the ginger orange juice are oranges she's bringing in. The mint tea comes from her garden. So it's really lovely to be able to use ingredients and source the ingredients from her.
I like the Mennonite influenced aspect of this soda bar a lot. That makes it even more special coming out of
it's
the valley.
Lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is really a lot of fun. I have had a few of those drinks when I pop by to get pre-popsters popcorn, and she makes up those nice little limeades and I enjoy it. It's really great.
Oh, well, thanks. It's fun.
It is fun.
And so, that was the second. We always knew when we opened retail, we wanted to add the soda line. And then when we get further along in our vision, we've got some plans for some frozen desserts that will be allergy friendly as well. And we're looking at some non-dairy frozen dessert options and a few other things. So we plan to continue expanding the product line. So we're not done yet.
Oh yeah, I'm going to remember you said that as we close up here because I want to hear some more futuristic ideas. But first, let's go with the beginning part of this vision and where you are now. It's this storefront you have started online. Mm-hmm. Now you have a physical storefront. What was your biggest obstacle in opening your storefront?
Oh, biggest obstacle in opening a storefront. I wouldn't call it an obstacle, but there was definitely a lot of sweat equity. I was trying to think of how to create a presence, a defined presence in the storefront, and what that would look like. And so I bought some. Also fixtures. Fixtures can be really expensive for retail. Expensive.
Okay.
And so I got my counters actually came from an old dry cleaner in town. And I got 16 linear feet of counters with shelves underneath for $80.
Wow.
And they were in bad shape. They were really rough shape. But I took them to my contractor. And I'm fortunate that his wife had run a retail store in the area some years ago. And she'd also had a background in set designing for plays and stuff. So she actually designed what are my retail counters now.
That's great. Yeah.
Painted them and, you know, dolled them up. And you would never know that they were $80 countertops from a dry cleaner store. Defining the space, giving it a personality and a personality that doesn't directly clash with the other vendors in the space was probably the biggest challenge.
Hmm. Yeah. And your creativity coming out and, you know, coming up with some solutions there too. This is why Laffer, she's my friend. That beautiful mind of hers inside a beautiful person. Speaking of which, this you offer a lot of value. It's not just in the product that you sell, just the person that you are, how you're connected in the community. So it's, you know, with the local producers and all of that, how you're working with people in the marketplace. But you offer also tips for your followers. You have a blog on your website and articles like 5 holiday popcorn recipes, 5 fun flavors for your wedding. I think my personal favorite so far is to drizzle or not to drizzle. What an absurd question.
And we're non-drizzlers, to be clear. We're non-drizzlers here.
Okay. See? And you can find that on the blog. How do you come up with these blog article ideas? Do you personally write them up yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. So I have all the blogs that are there, I wrote. I need to get back to blogging. it's been a little while since I've done it, but it was fun and a creative outlet. And, you know, there were just different aspects of running a business. Some of them were questions that I was grappling with as a business owner. Should I do this? Should I not do this? And some of it were stories about my transition into being in entrepreneurship or being in an entrepreneur. And just figuring out what that meant and that new role and identity. So there's lots of different and fun things that, you know, I could talk about related to popcorn or being a business owner, and all of that is game for for blogs.
Yeah, that's a great segue into this question I meant to ask earlier. What was that shift for you to go from, you know, the working at JMU with the online retail base in the basement with the popcorn to just like, I'm going to do this full time and go for it? What was the shift for you?
Yeah, so that, you know, for a long time, probably I would say for the last at least 2 years that I was at JMU, I was really struggling with this internal tug of war between my day job and this passion that I had for popcorn and really wanting to launch into it more fully. And, you know, I believe that everything happens for a reason and everything happens in God's divine timing. And there was just a great confluence of events that all fell together at the perfect time. And had it happened any earlier, I wouldn't have been ready to step into the business full time. But when all those things transpired and I had the opportunity to step into the business full time, it was like perfect timing. This makes all the sense in the world. I'm ready. Let's go. And then COVID, but... But let's go. for those, let's see. I think I stepped into it like May of 2019. So for those, you know, remaining 8 months-ish of the year, I was going. I was getting it. It was a good time.
I feel it. I feel like there's going to be a bunch of phoenixes rising out of the ashes of all of this when it's all said and done, because we're still standing, people.
Yeah, we are. There's some really hardworking entrepreneurs out there, some really hardworking small business owners that are just pushing their way through because they believe in their vision and they're not ready to give up on it. And I applaud every single one of them. And I believe that on the other side of this pandemic, the folks that are still standing won't regret having put in the work. And that's not to say that the people that aren't still standing didn't put in the work or weren't willing. They all were. We're just all at different, I think probably a lot of it has to do with how well people are capitalized in their businesses. And some are more capitalized than others. And, you know, and... things, you know, you can look at somebody and say, why me? Why do I have the success and they didn't? And and I can't really explain that, but I'm here to support every small business owner that I can. And for those that are still pushing through, keep pushing through.
Yeah. And I would say, to your point earlier, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all not for naught. And maybe the door closed on a particular small business that they were doing or business they were doing. That closed door opens another door. And the experience that they had from what they envisioned working out, they see kind of like what you're seeing now in the perfect timing. It all makes sense. You were ready. And if you hadn't had the background you had, you wouldn't be where you are now. Like, it all works together for good.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, and that right there is the favorite part of my journey, Dawn, is that I can look back over every career experience, whether it was JMU, whether it was Hershey, whether it was grad school internships, whether it was being an orientation leader in undergrad. And there are pieces of each one of those experiences that in the moment weren't really salient. And I can look today and I can look at my business and look at different elements and say, I got that element is a result of that experience I had 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 2 years ago. And that's been the favorite part of my journey, is to see how all of those things and all of those experiences have added up to create Propopsorus.
Man, that's a beautiful note right there. I almost want to end it because it's like a mic drop. You know what I mean? Listen, if you weren't encouraged before you listened to this episode, you sure will be now. I'm telling you, this is amazing. So what is in the future? You kind of alluded to it a little bit. We'll kind of, you know, kind of closing in on this. What is in the future for Propopsorus Popcorn? Yeah.
So my big dream, my big vision is to grow the company large enough that some large snack foods company will come and want to buy it and acquire it and fold it into their brand. And so I know we're still a long ways off from that, but that is the big vision, pie in the sky thought. In the interim, you know, we're really honing in on who our customer is and how we want to serve those customers and how we want to grow different customer segments. So we want to get into more distribution, particularly to breweries that fit a specific profile. We will continue to do corporate gifting. It's just an amazing partnership. I love to hear those stories from company owners that say, oh my gosh, I just got such a great response when my recipients received that gift. We'll continue with our retail piece, but then the product line extension is probably the biggest growth for us in the future going forward.
With the frozen treats.
Frozen treats and some other things. You know, essentially Propopsorus will become just a sweet treats confectionery brand.
Mm. Yeah, I think I've made that sound the most on this podcast episode. And all the previous episodes combined. maybe the closest is Chef Jordan, and you know, he's a gourmet chef in there. Yeah, see, and he's incredible. So yeah, but I think maybe this might be my Guinness record right now.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun and a lot of yummy. So as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Propopsorus and purchase some of this gourmet yummy popcorn?
Yes, laughers, you can visit us online. So we're at Propopsorus.com. That's Propopsorus.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Sometimes it's not as there's not as much content there because we're in the factory all the time popping up treats and shipping out. If you're local, you can certainly visit us in our store at 400 North Main Street in Bridgewater, Virginia, inside the North River Marketplace.
That's nice. Thank you, Tisha. This has been so super great. I'm looking forward to seeing what's next in store for you and Propopsorus Gourmet Popcorn and Sodas. Thanks for being
on. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
It has been great. It has. Laughers, we'll be sure to put their info in the show notes as well, so you can get their absurdly yummy popcorn online, in-store, or for your special occasions. And of course, lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye!
Bye!
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.